When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel, from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
Let's start with where you're from.
Calcutta.
Which part?
I'm adopted. I'm not really Indian. I'm starting to remember.
Saru, you're a beautiful boy.
You're very proud of yourself.
A life I'd forgotten.
Are you okay?
I had another family. A mother. A brother.
That's an excerpt from the trailer for the Oscar-nominated movie Lion. It tells a very dark and, at least initially, pretty jarring story. It has as a theme adoption. I wonder if there's a connection to a Christian theme of adoption, maybe even baptism in there as well. Greetings, welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Ted Giese joins us to review the Oscar-nominated movie Lion. He's a regular guest, has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
This movie has as one of its major themes and plot elements, adoption. What can Christians derive from this?
Adoption is something that all Christians actually experience. We may not think about it all the time, but in our baptisms, we are adopted into the family of God. So God the Father becomes our dear Father, who we can come to in prayer, and we receive the gift of Christ Jesus himself, and he becomes our elder brother. So we are become adoptees into God's family. And of course, in sermons, we'll hear all about the fact that we have an inheritance in Christ because of this adoption. So this is a big part of the Christian life, and it also is what makes us brothers and sisters in Christ together, even though we aren't blood relatives. So the concept and the idea and the reality of adoption is a big part of the Christian life, even if it's something we aren't thinking about all the time.
Okay, tell us about this film's plot. It begins in kind of dire circumstances. What is it?
Yeah, this is the story of, well, it's a true story. So this fellow, Saru, actually writes down, he's written down this book, like it's his own personal biography. And what it details is when he was 5 years old in India, he got separated from his family. He had gone out to work with Gadu, his brother, older brother, and in the process of that, ended up going on a train in the night, thinking that his brother was on it, looking, scavenging for things under the seats, and then the doors close in the train, and the train takes off, and 2 days later, he's in Calcutta, 1,500 kilometers away from where he started out, and he's a five-year-old kid. He doesn't even know how to, write his mother's name. So they ask him at one point, what's your mother's name? And he says, Mom, right? He also speaks Hindi, and he's in an area that doesn't speak Hindi. So he's completely lost, and it's the story of him on the streets, and eventually he ends up in the hands of people who actually helpfully get him into a situation where he gets adopted. And he's adopted by a family from Tasmania in Australia, played by Nicole Kidman and David Wenham. And then he lives his life there. So the story kind of then picks up with him starting to remember everything 25 years later and then desiring very deeply to go find his birth mother and the town that he lived in with only 3 or 4 or 5 maybe little snippets of memory of that place. And that all kind of coincided at the same time that Google Earth became something that people could utilize. So he, tries to use Google Earth to do this thing. So, and this is what the rest of the story is about, his endeavor to get back home.
So it is Oscar nominated, and a lot of times these kind of more obscure, although Nicole Kidman is a big star, they make it because they tell compelling stories. How compelling is this one?
This is a really compelling story. Particularly compelling is the story of the young Saru, played by this 5-year-old Indian actor, Sunny Parwa. He's a really charming kid. He's very excellent in his work as an actor, and even at such a young age. And it's a real story of bravery and courage. It's like him being on the street alone as a 5-year-old kid is very dangerous. Like, and they cover the very dangerous things that could possibly happen to a kid, and the things that he himself experienced, you know, in the course of his time on the street prior to him being put through a process of adoption. So he gets, you know, he's being lured in by people who seem nice but are actually looking to take advantage of him. He has to evade people who just want to scoop up kids and put them into a, it looks like maybe like a forced labor kind of sweatshop kind of situation. And then just like no food and having nowhere to sleep, sleeping on pieces of scrap cardboard, that kind of stuff. And that is all very compelling stuff, his bravery and the way that it's shot and his expressiveness as an actor. It's quite amazing.
And it's a world apart, at least the first part of the movie, it's a world apart from most of the audience, movie-going audience around the world, especially here in the United States. Talk about that.
Absolutely. And the other thing, though, that is a compelling thing in the midst of all of that is the this is something that you see in movies. You generally, they try to avoid things like children in peril or animals in peril. They avoid that kind of stuff. But when that is part of the movie itself, it ramps up the dramatic tension and makes it very edge-of-the-seat kind of viewing, actually. Generally, it's a fairly sad film. And I don't think that there are many 5-year-olds who are on the street as homeless people in the United States. There probably is. I mean, I don't know the statistics, but it is a world away from what most North American viewers would know.
Talk about, and you kind of point this out, this longing to return home, to seek out one's origins in human adoption is well documented, and people sooner or later they say, I want to know where I came from. The theme of Christian adoption that you talked about before with being adopted into God's family, Christians don't long to go back where they came from, do they?
No, and I think this is where we often talk about bringing your confession of faith with you into the movie theater when you sit to watch a movie. And when you think of the idea of people who long to meet their birth parents in real life, we know that sometimes that works out, sometimes that can go horribly wrong, sometimes they never are able to really make that connection. And when we bring our confession of faith in and we think about the theme of adoption and how it relates to us as a Christian in our life as a baptized child of God, then we look at it in this way. We don't long to go backwards because we're a new creation in Christ. So we don't, the old has passed away. This is what St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians. But what we do is we look forward to being in God's presence. We look forward to the last day when that adoption is made crystal clear and is completely and totally fulfilled in every way. So we look forward to being with the family of God together, brothers and sisters in Christ, on the other side of the last day in eternity with Christ and with God the Father.
Can a Christian watching this film kind of see that as that is what is missing, in a sense, from this child and then this young man's life, that sense that there is an eternal home where he truly does belong, as Christians would say, through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross?
Well, the film itself does not really get into the religious aspect of his life. There's a little bit near the beginning of the movie when he's a 5-year-old kid on the streets of Calcutta that has some, you know, Hindu-related stuff in it. But generally speaking, faith in general is not part of this film. So it is literally something that's missing, a missing dimension of the film. And I have not read the book that it's based on. I would be interested to see what exactly is there when it comes to that. But yeah, it's not part of it. So if you're sitting down to watch the movie, you're going to not see that aspect of this person's life. But each person does have that as an aspect of their life. And as a viewer sitting in the theater, you're going to bring that part of your life with you as you watch the movie.
I don't want to do too much spoilers, so if someone's planning on seeing it, they don't want to have it spoiled, then you can, you know, turn off for a second. Does he find home?
Okay, one, two, three, spoiler comes now. Yes. This is what makes it kind of in the end, more of a feel-good movie, is that he does actually find his mother again. It's a little bittersweet, but he does find some of his family members, and he finds his mother. And this is, they you know how sometimes these biopics do this? At the end, they show actual footage of the real person. So like Hacksaw Ridge, for instance, you actually get to see Desmond Doss and him talking about his experience. At the very end of this movie, you see the actual Saru who meets up with his mom, and he realizes that his name, he'd been pronouncing it wrong as a little kid, and his name means lion. And that's why the movie is named Lion.
Any concerns pastorally about people going to see? I can imagine just the kind of prolonged image of a five-year-old without parents would be traumatic to anybody, adults, but children included.
It is riveting. I mean, it really grabs you. So if intensity is something that you tend to avoid, then maybe you might want to reconsider this opportunity. A lot of these movies that are up for Best Picture this year are quite intense in nature. This is definitely one of them. You know, any parent who lost a kid for even 5 minutes or 2 seconds in a grocery store or someplace is going to have some, you know, some different feelings about what they're watching. But yeah, I mean, I think that it would just, it's the topic itself is rather intense. And it's also not a generally happy movie until you get to that end, which is quite powerful.
If you were kind of the one who decides where the Oscars go, this one's been nominated. First, is it worthy of an Oscar? And then what Oscar would you give it if you could, like Best Actor or Best Film, something like that?
Well, it's nominated for also for Best Supporting Actor for Dev Patel, who plays the adult Saru. And it's also nominated for Best Supporting Actress for Nicole Kidman and Adapted Screenplay, Cinematography, and Original Score. The original score, I don't really remember much of it, actually, so I wouldn't say that that's probably the case. I wish that the supporting actor nomination had gone to this little kid, Sunny Parwa, who plays the five-year-old boy. I mean, he's quite amazing. I think the youngest actress, maybe I'm wrong, but one of the very youngest ones was Anna Paquin, who won for a movie called The Piano years ago. And this kid, of course, would be younger yet than that to be a winner. But he was fabulous. So if I had my druthers, I would have liked to have seen him as a Best Supporting Actor nomination for the film.
You can read Pastor Ted Giese's review of Lion at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Next week, we will review the Oscar-nominated film Hell or High Water. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
Terry Mattingly will be with us on the other side of the break. Well, this getreligion.org site has been around for, well, I think 13 years now. What I want to know is, even in that short amount of time, has anything happened? Has any improvement been made in the media's ability to cover subjects that involve religion? Have they begun to cover it a little bit more? They seem to be wising up on the kind of the nuances of American religious landscape. We'll answer that question with Terry Mattingly right after this.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do.
Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
What are some of the myths of gospel reductionism? I've written part two of an article titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel in the latest issues, etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joy Pullman of The Federalist writes about her journey from charismatic experientialism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.